It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. And today we've got to talk about reparations. Who on this earth deserves reparations, Shane? So California has announced they want to give they want to give $223,000 each to over 2 million Black descendants of Civil War folks and those who were discriminated against because of housing. I don't know. They've got a $45 billion deficit. So why not? Why not do this? What's the problem?
Well, I think the most important thing is we'll go over it a little bit, where reparations came from or the concept. Mm-hmm. But the important thing with that is that as of October 11, 2022, Evanston, Illinois became the first city in your country to, as they say, grant reparations to Black Americans. It really turns out it was a grant for $25,000. For them to use to repair houses and pay down a mortgage or as a down payment for a house, because you know the situation in the state is pretty bad. So it was basically a payout to African Americans, which government has done since the Great Society, and this just adds to it. I mean, the Great Society was basically reparations, to African Americans. But as we've discussed over the years, the rules and guidelines set up for it was really an effort by the woke left, racist, which Johnson was from Texas, to destroy the African American family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, make them dependent on the government.
That destroys them.
That's the whole point. We have had a federal slavery reparations bill, H.R. 40. It's been in Congress since 1989. It's just been sitting there. I don't know if it's updated or what periodically and reintroduced, but I seriously doubt that it's going to I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
No, John Conyers Jr., a Democrat from Michigan, introduced in 1989. Every year until his resignation in 2017, the Commission to Study Reparation Proposals for African American Act. In 89 when it really became a utility for the woke left to start, creating another racist situation. And then Randall Robinson wrote his Trans-African book in 1999, and he valued the cost to be somewhere between 1.4 to 4.7 trillion, or roughly 142,000 per African American. But the interesting thing is, this didn't include Hispanics or Native American people, indigenous people, just African Americans. And the estimates, since then have gone from anywhere from 5.7 to 17 trillion in cost. But the fact is that it's never been voted on, and it's never really was brought to the floor. It was just a bill. It was a bill that he entered. But it gives you an idea of when this political policy sort of came about. Mm-hmm. And then of course the big problem was in 2016 for it, when the United Nations they had a working group of experts on people of African descent, and they encouraged that the U.S. government passes House Resolution 40 of John Conyers, and that's sort of when it died. I mean, when you have the UN telling you what to do,
I was going to say, they're
not very good politically, though.
I'm going to say they couldn't be more liberal, I don't think, over there. So that tells you a lot of things. Why are they needed? My opinion, Shane, is that the Blacks are just a big enough voting block. Let's pay them off. And, if we can get them paid off in California, maybe Gavin Newsom feels that, if he runs for president, maybe all of us can get $223,000.
Yeah.
So that may be the thing. The Japanese were internment camps. You know, they got some money. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, the American Indians, you're going to give them their land back. You know, they're not a big voting bloc either. So why are these needed other than to do two things? One, either buy votes. And the second one is make us feel good about ourselves. You know, that we're just wonderful people.
Right. Like voting for Obama. I mean, as a reparation issue, the interesting thing is that not new to the United States. I mean, the infamous William Tecumseh Sherman, who, you know, drove into Georgia during the Civil War, split the South in half, went, you know, drove to Atlanta, burned it to the ground, and then drove, continued to the coast to Savannah and captured it. He ultimately became the first individual to provide a benefit. The Great American 40 Acres and a Mule was his concept. It was a special field order that he issued. This had nothing to do with government. No one in the government approved it, but it was he enacted it in January, I believe, of that year, and then it was basically initiated or put into effect May 1865. So you know, the 40 acres and a mule. You know, he wrote in his field diary that plan later became known as the 40-acre rule, and he just felt that was something that was important for, you know, African Americans who had been now free. Today's value about $640 million, but it's again something that I'm glad we're talking about, because who would have known? I mean, you're not going to hear anyone on the left talk about a Republican general, you know, hired by Lincoln, that took it upon himself. Mm-hmm. And it gives us an opportunity.
Gives us something there, yeah.
To disclose to people is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as I said before, we got to talk about what about other groups. By 1992, the U.S. government evenly distributed more than $1.6 billion, that's $3.67 billion today, in reparation to 82,000 Japanese Americans who had been incarcerated during World War II. You know, they rounded up the Japanese and put them in internment camps around the country. And, you know, as a safeguard that they might be spies or, you know, allegiance to the home country that probably most of them were born here, weren't immigrants necessarily. Yeah, but
you know, I don't call that foul. It was war. What the Japanese did was horrific. And,
well, yeah, sure.
You know, everybody had watched them at the time, what they were doing in China, because they'd been fighting in China since 1938. So, I mean, this wasn't new. But the interesting thing was, who was it? Well, it was Reagan, right? Reagan was the one that did this. And once again, it becomes an example of a Republican who makes a woke move, but gets no credit.
Yeah. For it. Yeah. Well, 92 be Clinton, but, you know, it may have started under Reagan, but Clinton took credit for it, I guess.
Yeah. He took credit. But it was Reagan who initiated it. And then it got passed in that famous midterm Congress when the Republicans took over both houses.
Well, another question, where does this end, or does it? You know, the Irish were discriminated against quite heavily. You know, there's signs Irish need not apply for jobs. Italians were also, the Chinese working on the railroads. I mean, you know, you can pick out groups
throughout history. Yeah.
I mean, it's throughout history that, Asians are attacked on the streets of New York every day. You know, it seems like. So, you know, how do you pick and choose? And as I said earlier, I think the only way you can pick and choose is who votes. And, you know, you take care of the biggest voting blocks, and the others just fend for themselves. I'm sorry, terrible things happen to you, but you're just not a big enough voting group for me to worry about. So,
yeah, and we talked about this once 10 years ago, and one of the things I discovered reading about that was that you know, in the 1800s, the fire departments of London were indentured. You know, the idea came back because it had happened 200 or 300 years before because the refusal for people to, you know, work on fires because it was so dangerous. But the bottom line is so historically, they're entitled, all firemen. Caucasians are, you know, Western Europeans or Europeans. We've been indentured as slaves, you know, since Rome, since, you know, 500 BC. So we're all entitled. So the bottom line is that at some point, even the American indigenous people, you know, they went around grabbing people from every tribe they could to, in, you know, to enslave them, you know, or take their women and enslave them. So this isn't new. But the great historical references as a value of money would be the war reparations paid. And, you know, it goes back to, again, Rome, the Carthaginians, you know, they had to pay one of the greatest costs and to Rome from the Carthaginian Wars. And so it moves right through for 1,000 years on, you know, small parts. And then, of course, the Napoleonic Wars, the Treaty of Paris, 700 million francs were ordered to be paid to, you know, to everyone. And of course, in 1932, when Hitler took over, he canceled it. But, you know, you can go to the Franco-Prussian War, the Treaty of Frankfurt, you know, huge payments. Greece had to pay Turkey in 1897, you know, the equivalent of 4 million pounds. And World War One, that was like I said, that was a pretty incredible one. Germany again was ordered to pay vast sums of money, 2.2 billion in today's value, you know, 90 million pounds of gold back then. But on October 3rd, 2010, and then, of course, when Germany took over, Hitler canceled it. And then afterwards, it was brought back, and they ended up paying it. But
Germany paid a bunch of different states, Poland and all, you know, France and Switzerland and all these, you know, damage from the war. And of course, we rebuilt Europe ourselves, our money. And so,
Germany was ordered to pay $23 billion in today's dollars on July 17th and August 2nd because of the war, 1945, August 2nd. And that was basically it was more manufacturing plants and facilities.
Yeah. And, it wasn't cash to citizens. No, it was rebuilding.
So they started a lot of, Americans and even the Russians, you know, sort of shut that down in 1950 and 53.
Yeah.
Actually. But they still had to, you know, to pay for, having to do that, and you know, they had to pay for the prisoners of war that you know, they held. And so this is where the reparation or the concept of it, you know, came about. And it's always interesting when you look at these things. Even up in the most recent one was Iraq. I mean, you know, they've been ordered to pay huge sums, $52 billion, in war reparations. I mean, you know, it's always the loser that pays, which if it's, you know, and in that case, they didn't even start the war, but they lost.
Yeah.
So you don't have to start a conflict to have to pay for it. You can just lose it and have to pay for it.
That's where you are. So, well, some final thoughts again. I got to keep coming back to this is just a vote buying scheme. It makes you feel good about yourself that you know you've righted a wrong, even though the people who suffered the wrong aren't the people getting the money. You know, at least in World War II, by 92, the thing ending in 45, at least the children of these incarcerated people knew their parents who were incarcerated. And, you know, I don't, I mean, they had to live through those stories and whatever. And I think they, you know, whatever the country decided to give them is fine. You know, but when it comes to slavery, 100 and some years later, you know, 150 years later, we haven't had slavery in this country. And, you know, that I don't think anybody alive today sits around the table talking about how terrible slavery was back in 1860.
You know, well, that's right. So. And just as an example, you know, the 40 acres and a mule of General Sherman's field order, only a little more than 40,000 African Americans on the you know, Carolina coast, which is the land that they got, took it up.
Yeah.
You know, of the 4 million slaves in your country that were freed, you know, over 2 million left the South. They just said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
They and that, that was one of the greatest human migrations of all time.
Yeah.
And so why doesn't Africa have to pay reparations to them? You know, it was a woman queen of Africa, you know, that basically collected the slaves from other tribes to give to the Portuguese. And it's so there's so much to the history that's been written and known.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult to point a finger and say, oh, this is your bank account that's got to pay.
I mean, yeah. I was going to say, why aren't the African descendants of the slave traders ponying up? Where's their money, you know? So,
you know, 60% of the African slaves, you know, came. 60% of the African slaves came, you know, to the West and ended up in Portugal, which is why, Brazil, which is why Brazil, its principal language is Portuguese.
Yeah.
And the indigenous people are fighting to stay alive. But, you know, the basis of Brazil is the slavery that was brought and by the different colonists that were down there. So, when we look at this overall, I mean, and globally, and you associate it historically, it's a hard pressed political policy to adapt, because there are so many arguments in regards to it really doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, so no one wants to move on it politically, but that's understandable.
Well, a lot of people used Portland and Seattle and you know, Wisconsin as looting was reparations. You know, we're not gonna, you know, these people deserve this merchandise. You know, they deserve all the shoplifting they're doing New York or whatever. You know, we can always justify this as long as it makes us feel good. Whatever the justification is, doesn't matter. You know, well, as long as we feel good about ourselves, then we're home free.
So. That's right, and you know, the 33.2% grab of the Democrat woke party is a 10 minorities. Yeah. And so if the minorities, you know, aren't going to vote against you about this, then, you know, embrace them. Oh, go out and do this some more.
Yeah.
And every major leader in the Democratic Party did. They, you know, your vice president raised money to get people bailed out to continue doing it. Yeah. And, you know, then you have the Republican Party, 32.4%. And it's a conservative-based rural party across your country. So it's fabulous because until it affects you personally, right?
Yeah.
All politics are local and personal.
That's what.
So you know, they're crazy. Yeah. That you know, that's what most people think.
Well, yeah. Well, look at California. You know, you want to pay $223,000 per black person to two million blacks in the country, but you've got tent cities in every major city in California. You've got a $45 billion deficit. You've got illegals. Gavin Newsom said the other day that we got to shut the border down because it's going to break California. Oh, my. You know, you're a sanctuary state. What did you expect was going to happen? And you want to run for president?
Yeah, when you just a real final comment on that again, when you're faced with an invasion, you look at it and go, well, we should turn this back. Yeah. But of course, the situation that we see in your country, which is escalating as we talk, I mean, over 5 million have come in since Biden.
Yeah. I mean, well, and the rule and of 42 or Article 42 is going to end in a week or two.
What so, doesn't matter?
It doesn't, but it's just going to attract more people.
Of course it is.
Once that goes away, if Congress doesn't reapprove it, then, we're making reparations immediately to these people.
Until there's a 9/11 incident, that people can specifically identify by terrorists that came across. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't see at this point any change for at least 2 years. I think the Republican Congress will make an effort to do it. But again, in the 21st century of social media and the principal networks in your country, they're not talking about it or wanting to.
Yeah.
And you saw that the only thing that caused any interest for people to cover was that interesting governor from Florida, flying a bunch of people to Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
It was great politically for him to do that because all of a sudden before the election, it became a discussion for about 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they weren't even on the island for 24 hours. So, it was over.
All right. Well, if you enjoy this type of banter between two folks, I would suggest you tune into the award-winning Tom and Shane radio show, which is the day after tomorrow, Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. We're live on
KMS. It is on Saturdays. It's 3 hours. Yeah. That's right.
I don't know. I have
and,
breakfast
and we have
with
callers.
Us.
It's a talking show. And call in and give us a rant and talk about something that's important to you. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Yeah, what's your problem there? So, yeah, KMMSAM.com. There's nothing to join, no sign up needed, no emails, no personal information of any kind is collected by us for you or about you. So all you got to do is click listen now and listen and call us, text us, whatever. If you missed any of our past shows, they're also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. And you will be taken over to there. And we want to remind you, please subscribe, ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we're on, no matter what your time zone is. So that's an easy way to do it. And if you subscribe, every time you subscribe, an angel gets his wings. That's a proven fact, man. So
and a bell sounds.
Amen. A bell. And ring that notification bell and angel will get their wings. And you will always know when we're on. If you like this type of content, or leave a comment, leave us, what would you like for us to talk about? Leave us a comment below. We're always looking for topics that interest people. So why not you be the catalyst for our next show? So we'd be happy to do that for you. So it's labor of love here.
Always is, my friend. It's always a pleasure. I thank you for it.
No problem. Hey, glad to have you here.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. So we will talk to you on Saturday, and we'll see you on our next podcast next Tuesday.